Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. We continue on with the month of Pocus. All of October is dedicated not to Hocus Pocus, but to point-of-care ultrasound. And this is all in conjunction with Practical Pocus, which is an ultrasound education company that at the end of the year will be having some great ultrasound courses, basically a double header. And with the discount code of TOTALEM, you can get 10% off of your purchase for these courses. And one of the big things that I would mention that I really haven't talked about in the previous podcast is that when you are signing up for this course, this isn't just a one and done course. This isn't just a couple of days and that's all the education you get. You get pre-course material, you get post-course material, and you get support for a year afterwards. Actually, they're doing it for all of 2019, so it's more like 13 months. But long story short, this is a great course. It offers a lot of information, and they're going to talk about things like what we're going to talk about today so you can learn how to perform this and help better save lives. So what are we going to talk about today? One of my favorite things to do, because it's so quick, so easy, you can pick this up within just a few minutes and get this down, and that is confirming airway placement with ultrasound. Now, we know how to look at the lungs, and we can do that as well, and that's something that's going to be coming up in like the Practical Pocus courses and stuff like that. That's something we cover a lot, but what doesn't usually get covered as much is actually assessing the airway, looking at the trachea to see that the endotracheal tube has gone into the right position. So that little difference can be rather significant. Because let's face it, even quantitative waveform capnography, like this gold standard, basically, like the one that we want to use a lot, although it can be beneficial in certain patient populations, especially during cardiac arrest, is only about 65 to 68% sensitive. Think about that. Only two-thirds of patients will the quantitative waveform capnography, that gold standard, really be beneficial. End-tidal CO2 requires at least 5 breaths for confirmation, so this can lead to gastric distension if it's incorrectly placed, and of course the risk for aspiration. And chest x-ray. Chest x-ray takes time, even if you prep in advance where you may have radiology over, you put the board in, you've got everything set up so you can do it right away. It still takes time to do it, still confirm it, still look at it, still get around from the bed, because especially if you're working in a solo shop, like so many of us are in the rural settings, then you have to get out from behind the bed, at the head of the bed, to go down to the foot of the bed where radiology is, take a peek. By then, they've already given several breaths. Oh no, waveform capnography and our end-tidal CO2 is not showing what we want to see. This is bad. Now we've got a further delay. But with ultrasound, you can either do this dynamically or statically, where you can assess the airway and know right away whether or not you're in the right position. And this is really nice for when you're doing education stuff. So you have a student with you and you're letting the student or the resident intubate. Perfect. You as the attending or whatever your role be can put the ultrasound up there and you can watch. And then as soon as they say, well, I can see it going through the cords. No, you were in the esophagus. Pull back out. Let's try this again. You can do that in real time versus waiting. And let's say you are in a solo shop, no big deal either. You have someone else hold the probe, and you can even watch dynamically yourself if you have it facing the right way. But you can also do it statically. You can do it after the event. And this is so, so quick. And we're going to talk about that more in a second too. But ultimately, this is something that we want to use. We're already going to be in our cardiac arrest patients, and most of our patients where we're even considering intubation probably need the ultrasound in the room anyway so we can get that right information. But again, this is immediate feedback. It's dynamic. It's helpful, and it can save you and your patient. It could potentially save their life, especially if you have an unrecognized esophageal intubation that's been cooking for several minutes at least before you look and you're like, oh crap, I've done the wrong thing, or oh crap, I've mainstemmed them, because we can talk about that too. So long story short, so overall, the approach is pretty simple. I like a linear probe, but you can use curvilinear. But I like the linear because I think it gives a little better definition, because it's a high frequency probe, and also because it's very easy to place. But basically, you're looking at just superior to the suprasternal notch. And you can drift up if you want, pretty much anywhere anterior of the trachea. You know, basically you're just riding over the top of it in a transverse view, you can see it well. But long story short, you're just placing it to the suprasternal notch. Take a look. And as you're doing that transverse view, you should be able to see the trachea pretty well. And this can also be beneficial because you can plan for a surgical airway at the same time. You can identify the cricothyroid membrane because you're right in the same region. So this is something that, especially if you're planning in advance, you can scan through, take a quick look, you know, see where your cricothyroid membrane is, even mark it if you want, so you're really ready if this is a potential difficult airway, which really we should pretty much anticipate every airway to be a difficult airway. But you can scan for this, you can look at the actual trachea, and then you're set up ready to go for the next part. So, as always with this, I've included images on the website for a little more detail, but the POCUS Atlas is so helpful. They include all these types of images, and you can go and look at them yourself there. But for your ease and viewing pleasure, we have them all on the website, so please check out the blog side of the podcast where you can see this. But long story short, for appropriate placement, we should see a single air-filled structure. And especially with the innovation side, that air-filled structure, we may sometimes see a little artifact that goes with it, especially if we're watching dynamically that tube being placed. But what we don't want to see is a second air-filled structure, especially when it's riding alongside the trachea, because that's the esophagus. And if we start seeing something sitting in the esophagus, pretty good chance, especially if it wasn't there to start with, which I'd recommend even if you're doing it statically, that you're looking before and after. But if you are seeing something else sitting there, this is very concerning. And so we want to be able to check that in advance. We want to be able to see that dynamically go through, because if we can see a second tube be introduced, a second air-filled structure be introduced, that's the esophagus. That's bad. Back it back out. There are some other things we can do too. So if there's any question of cuff placement, you can move some saline in and out of the actual cuff of the syringe and with the syringe, and basically you'll see bubbles. And this can further identify. We've got a GIF of that too. But ultimately, you know, when you see it in the trachea, you feel good about the position, go ahead and check for lung sliding on both sides. And this is really, really important, because with main stem intubations, it's going to be like a pneumothorax most of the time. But I would definitely check for lung sliding before and after, so you can see how much is moving. Because if you're not seeing much movement on one side versus the other, and there was equal movement at the beginning, okay, now I'm worried that this is a potential main stem intubation. And even though I don't have complete absence of lung sliding, I'm still worried that maybe we should move this a little bit more. And so I can recheck this further, again, all at the bedside, rapidly, not waiting for x-ray to tell me that I screwed up. So the actual paper that we're talking about today is, again, from the Annals of Emergency Medicine. It's from Gottlieb et al., and it's ultrasonography for the confirmation of endotracheal tube intubation, a systematic review and meta-analysis. And this was a well-done study with different settings, techniques, and levels of experience. I've really, really liked the way they did this. And this approach that we just talked about, if you say need a video just so you can have some better understanding, the Ultrasound Podcast did a great review, and it was actually with pediatric patients, but the pediatric approach is essentially the same as the adult approach. They do go a little bit more about the cuff technique, because especially with pediatrics, they like to kind of main stem to start with and then start pulling back out and looking for that cuff. So that's something that you may even consider, especially in your difficult intubations when there's a lot going on. You main stem and then you can pull back out with the ultrasound at the same time, watching that cuff for a little better understanding. So in the paper, there were a number of techniques used. Dynamic was used the most common, but along with static. But long story short, in most of these studies, you picked one or the other, and about half and half as far as this was going on. And then there were different ways to confirm the placement. So the double tract or double barrel sign, as I've also heard it, is the most common one. That's the one we were describing before. Then you're looking at the fluttering of the trachea as the tube's passing through. That's the snowstorm sign, which is very similar to the cuff type thing we were talking about. And then when you're using this, often in combination of seeing the cricothyroid area from being a triangular structure to a round structure known as the bullet sign. And again, you can see this even in the GIFs. So this is something that you can do in combination. But long story short, probably the easiest one, the one that they talk about is quickest and seemed to be the most effective, like trended towards that way, it wasn't statistically so, was that double track sign. So looking for that second air-filled structure. But a lot of times, like I said, you may need a second person there, which we can't always get. But we want to make sure that we have some way of checking this out rapidly. And this can happen extremely quickly. So we can do this exam way faster than capnography. Even if you're talking about in this study, like when they're looking at the meta-analysis and everything, the confirmation was just 13 seconds. Even if you're going to look at both transtracheal and lung, it is 48 seconds. But still, with that 13 seconds, that's four times faster than what we'd be doing with the capnography, and still faster than what we can do with the lung stuff. And the neat thing is with the capnography, you can still plug it in and get answers all about the same time without the delays of chest x-ray and all that stuff. And this is so well supported and so well liked that even the 2015 ACLS guidelines supports this role. But one of the best things I like is the sensitivity and specificity. So a sensitivity of 98.7%. with a specificity of 97.1% with combination of all the data. But we're talking about as sensitive as 99.2% and a specificity as high as 99% with a positive likelihood ratio of 34.4. So basically, you see it, it's true. And a negative likelihood ratio of 0.01, which basically, again, is the same thing. These are really, really impressive numbers. It's rare to see these good of numbers with it. So long story short, use ultrasound for your airways. You can even try this out without having to intubate someone. You can take like some carbonated soda and have someone drink it, and you'll see the artifact as it's passing through while someone's drinking the soda. And you don't even have to work on only intubations with this if you want to see how it can change with seeing the esophagus versus the trachea. So just check that out. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.